From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the pages of Britain's Sunday Express in the year 1930, when just days after the birth of Princess Margaret, a prominent astrologer named R.H. Naylor was asked to publish her horoscope. Naylor predicted that her life would be eventful, fitting since she was a princess, and that events of tremendous importance to the royal family and the nation will come about near her seventh year. Well, it turned out that's when her uncle abdicated the throne to her father. Coincidence? According to the Smithsonian, Naylor's article was the tipping point for what we now know as the popular consumption of horoscopes. And today, an increasing number of millennials are reading their horoscopes every day and believing them. More than half of young adults in the United States, more than 50%, believe astrology is a valid science, even though extensive studies have worked to prove otherwise. So why do so many millennials identify with aura reading, mediumship, tarot card reading, palmistry, and more? And are they all on the same level? Maybe like the ancient Babylonians and Greeks who regarded astrology as science, they see it as a source of guidance or as a way to make sense of the world during uncertain times. We're going to explore this issue with our guests this hour. And joining me in studio, Jordan Duby, who identifies as many things, including pagan.
Yes.
It's great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Also here is Nico Levetro, an evolutionary astrologer and tarotist. Nico, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And Jesse Ames Smith is creator of the Yoga and Tarot Workshop. She's a yoga teacher and a tarotist. Jesse, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
And on the line with us is Richard Feldman. He's a professor of philosophy at the University of Rochester and someone who studies and knows a lot about epistemology, how we form beliefs. Professor, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here, Evan.
Well, I'm going to start with Jesse because you asked me for my birthday, my place of birth, and even the time of day that I was born.
That's correct.
And I sent it to you.
You did.
What does that tell you about me?
Well, so what that does is when, the horoscope that you read in, you know, Cosmopolitan magazine or on the internet is a lot of times just a snapshot that, you know, 12 generic personality types can only give you so much information about a person. But when you use the location of your birth, the time of your birth, and the date of your birth, what it does is it, like, posits you at the center of how the planets were aligned when you were born. So, like, the way we orient ourselves to the sun, your chart would orient everything to you. Does that sound about right, Nico? Yeah, sure.
Like a close enough, you know, quick. Yes,
but the universe does not revolve around me here.
No, but it would give you information about characteristics about, because these planets and the zodiac signs represent different aspects of a personality. So if we take this unique circumstance of when you were born and where you were born and we plug it into this system that is different aspects or character, you know, if you're strong-willed or you're quiet or whatever, the different houses, the different planets all have different meanings that you can kind of plug and play. So your chart would be totally different from my chart, even if we had the same sun sign. So even if, because you're a, what did I look here?
I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus,
I'm
right?
A Taurus, yeah.
So even if I were a Taurus, which I'm not, I'm a Scorpio, but if I were a Taurus, we would have totally different charts because we were born in different places. And, yeah.
Okay, so let me just back up and say, you know, I told our guest coming, I'm a good-natured skeptic. And I'm someone who wants to trust the evidence and what science tells us about this. I'm still trying to understand, when I gave you that information, did it tell you anything that, or do you think it told you anything about me?
Yeah, I think it did. You know, I think that your rising Virgo sign would have a lot to do with that sort of necessity for organization of information, that would, you know, that your moon in Scorpio would say that you're sensitive and intense, but find yourself, like, moving between extremes in your, like, inner realm, and that your sun sign makes you stubborn and maybe a little bit, like, creature comfort-based. Does that sound like you at all?
I mean, some of it a little.
Sure.
Some of it I don't think stubborn, you know. But I have a twin brother.
Oh.
And he's very different than me. How does that work?
I actually don't have an answer for that. Wait, well, which one was born first? Because the time of birth would
make
a difference.
I was born half an hour before he was.
So that would change aspects of your chart, the timing of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Half an hour?
Yeah. Down to the minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Nico, help me understand.
I don't think that they're necessarily, you know,
predictive of who you are. It's more like karmic energy, and how you express that is determined by the individual. So I don't like the word stubborn for Taurus. I prefer persistent, perseverance, somebody who's working with a sense of...
But what person is going to tell you, I don't have perseverance? No.
Probably a mutable sign. So it's a fixed sign. So it would say that this is somebody who's building structure, learning to work with structure, whereas a mutable sign is learning to be adaptable and adjust to their environment.
Okay. So before I turn to Professor Feldman, I want to ask Jordan Doobie for your thoughts on this, because, you know, I mean, just reading some of your stuff online, you have a really sharp wit. You're really funny.
Thank you.
and you know, you're smiling at me. We're talking about these signs. As someone who's not trained in this stuff and you know, maybe comes in as the skeptic, help me understand why you are maybe more open to this.
Well, that's it's a lot of different things. So I was raised in a scientific household. My father's a scientist. My sister's a scientist.
Father's brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so too. And I was raised around this idea that you have to test your beliefs against a very determined, a very understood scientific method. From my understanding, a lot of this doesn't fall into science. And I don't personally need it to for me to make it a part of my life. Astrology has always been, I think, my weakest point in terms of my understanding of spirituality in general. I don't know as much as I probably could know about it. Where I tend to fall is I know my sun sign, my moon sign, and that on full moons, every child I teach goes crazy. So,
what does your dad say? Again, his father is a brilliant scientist, and by the way, Jordan seems to have his father's brilliance, probably your mother's brilliance too. I don't know your mother, but I ask because, you know, you say the science part of it doesn't really matter to you. But when science has tried to study this, they would probably tell you the sun sign, moon sign don't mean anything. That, or maybe they're missing something is sort of the rejoinder. But I think your dad would say, why wouldn't you want to see what a scientific study says?
Oh, no, I do. Like, absolutely. I've heard every opposite side of every argument for things I believe in, including energy healing, acupuncture, all that fun stuff. There is no good study I found that makes me go, yeah, no, that exists. Like, I've not found anything scientifically credible that makes me say, like, I have a scientific basis for this belief. So from that point of view, I don't think it's necessary to have it, though, because
The science doesn't matter?
The science does matter, but spirituality and science for me are two very different things, because spirituality in a large part is how I gain sort of a sense of an encompassing, that's the word I'm looking for, encompassing sense of the world around us. And I don't necessarily need science for that. I think spirituality, religion, any sort of thing along those lines, they're meant to bring us a sense of understanding of our place in the universe.
Hmm. Let me turn to Professor Feldman.
Sure.
What sparked this discussion was an article that was published by MarketWatch, and here was the headline last month, "Why Millennials Are Ditching Religion for Astrology." And let me read from that, Professor. "The majority of Americans now believe it is not necessary to believe in God to have good morals." That's a study from Pew Research Center released last month. "The percentage of people between the ages of 18 and 29 who never doubt existence of God," so in other words, people who are certain that there's a God, "fell from 81% 10 years ago to 67% in the recent study. Meanwhile, more than half of young adults," that's 18 to 29, "more than half of U.S. adults in that age cohort believe astrology is a science, compared to less than 8% of 18 to 29-year-olds in China. The psychic services industry, which includes astrology, aura reading, mediumship, tarot card reading, and palmistry, grew 2% in the last 5 years, and it's now worth $2 billion annually. So it's growing. It is definitely growing in this age cohort in this country. Rich, I'm going to start by asking you this. Jordan is saying, you know, he understands on the scientific side there have been studies, and if you try to do this scientifically, you may not get the results that bear it out scientifically. But he views it in sort of a different category, I think, fair to say,
yeah,
more of spiritual terms. What do you make of that when you think about the epistemology, how people form beliefs, and, you know, your first thoughts on that, Rich?
So a couple of things. I thought just one comment on the study, the article that you you just mentioned, and the idea that you can have good morals without religion. I think that's surely true, and it's encouraging to see that that attitude is growing. And to the idea that I think it was Jordan mentioned just a little while ago that the science doesn't matter. I think we should ask, doesn't matter for what purpose, or it doesn't matter in what way. So. If you think that your personality or important facts about your life are determined in the way that astrology and the like says it does, I think the science does matter. Those are predictive claims, and they can be tested. And if the evidence doesn't bear it out, that's a problem for those the truth of those beliefs. But I thought there was something very interesting that was hinted at in the conversation about your birth sign and your personality, Evan, right mm-hmm. at the beginning. And it just prompted a conversation. It caused you to reflect a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. And there were some comments on that. And so I think these kinds of beliefs can do that for us. They can play a useful role in making people reflective about themselves and thinking about their place in the world. And that's a way in which I think maybe it's true that the science doesn't matter. It doesn't, a lot of the theory around all this maybe doesn't matter so much, but the usefulness of the beliefs and how we understand ourselves and how we think about ourselves may nevertheless be there.
Let's ask Nico and Jesse what they think about the science about it and whether it does or doesn't matter. But first, I want to listen to some of the comments that Carl Sagan made about astrology. I mean, Carl Sagan is a legendary scientist who, if he were alive today, he would probably say, hey, he doesn't think it's a good thing that more than half of young American adults believe this, because in his view, the science is asked and answered. This is him in a video from the early 1980s on astrology talking about why he thinks, it sort of should be debunked. Here's Carl Sagan.
It turns out that astrologers can't even agree among themselves what a given horoscope means. In careful tests, they're unable to predict the character and future of people they know nothing else about except the time and place of birth. Also, how could it possibly work? How could the rising of Mars at the moment of my birth affect me, then or now? I was born in a closed room. Light from Mars couldn't get in. The only influence of Mars which could affect me was its gravity. But the gravitational influence of the obstetrician was much larger than the gravitational influence of Mars. Mars is a lot more massive, but the obstetrician was a lot closer.
So that was Carl Sagan, Nico, way back then, and maybe you think he's missing something about the process. So let's talk about it. What did Carl Sagan maybe have wrong there?
I don't think it requires that you believe anything if it works. If it's effective and having somebody become more self-aware about where they are and the context of the whole, I think it perfectly aligns with a more socially aware culture that people want to understand what they're doing here and why. Modern approach to astrology is more prescriptive, instead of descriptive. Mm-hmm. It's not... you are condemned to this sort of existence. Instead, it's more of like you're working with this sort of energy and how might you self-actualize it? I don't think you have to believe anything. There's nothing to believe.
Well, I mean, there's got to be something to believe, because if I came to you and I'm working, and in a minute I'll ask you what tarot is, because I truly don't know. I'm very ignorant about this. And so thank you for being here to help illuminate what it is and what the goals are.
Our pleasure.
So I think I understand what you're saying, but it does matter if I believe it or to some degree, because there has to be something to grab onto that's valid here,
no.
Right?
No.
No?
No, it just has to work.
What?
It just has to work. That's all. If you come and you get a tarot reading or you get an astrology chart and you leave and you feel empowered and more self-aware, then that's all that matters.
That's what you mean by working. So if I walk out of there feeling like I've gained something.
Correct.
Okay. Then that is good enough whether science validates it or not.
Correct.
Okay.
I often tell people when I'm reading tarot for them or we're talking astrology that it's not a crystal ball but more of a mirror. that the messaging you get out of this type of intuition and divination is the point. Mm-hmm. That it isn't like I'm looking for something that I don't already know. I gave a reading to a good friend of mine a year and a half ago or so, and she kind of had a stink face on at the end. And I was like, what's going on? And she said, well, you didn't tell me anything I didn't already know.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I was like, well, that's kind of it. Like,
it's validating.
And it's I think the tool for introspection is how I view these
Correct.
Things. I was a kid that would read every quiz you could take in any magazine or like, you know, which Buffy the Vampire Slayer character are you? You know, I mean, the answer is Anya, if anyone's interested. But, you know, or like, I love Enneagram typing, which is the 9 personality types. And when it comes to belief, I mean, if I'm going to be real, like, what's the point of any spiritual practice if you need to prove it with science?
Well,
right?
I think atheists are probably saying that's right.
Well, right. No, but that's, I mean, I guess that is my point, you know.
Richard Feldman wants to jump in. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. The poll you cited said that I think it was more than half of the people surveyed thought
it's like
astrology
it's like 50,
was a science.
51%.
And I'm wondering whether Jesse and the others think would agree with that. I mean, the description I just heard said, well, it's this practice that works, but and it's useful, but it sounded like it was saying it's not a science.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Jesse, do you think it's a science? Do you think it's scientifically valid?
I don't think I'm enough of a scientist to answer that question with any, like, surety, but I think that it's a system. I think that tarot is a system that can be viewed within its own framework. I think that astrology is certainly a pseudoscience the way someone would categorize, like you mentioned acupuncture, mm-hmm. Jordan, you
yeah.
know, like, which I've had, like, very real pain relief from. Like, I had chronic nerve pain from an old bone break injury that, like, I don't get anymore. So I guess the question becomes, like, if the placebo, if, like, the sugar pill makes you feel better, mm-hmm. like, should you stop taking it?
No, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had migraines so bad that even though I'm the skeptic, I've gone to acupuncture, and there was one time I walked out of there in 40 minutes and felt like I could dunk a basketball.
Yep.
And then I tried it again a month later, and I got nothing.
Sure.
And then I thought, wait a second, if I think it's placebo, do I sabotage my chances of making it work? Nico, same question. Do you view astrology as a science?
I do. I mean, it is a study, and you see patterns and things that reoccur, but I also think of it as an art because it's a blending of different energies, or you have to have some sort of empathic sort of feeling towards what that feels like to sort of make it effective and work. It's a study, and there mm-hmm. is a system, and it is, you can be methodical about it, but at some point you have to kind of let go and trust your intuition. So it's a blending of those two things.
That strikes me as really interesting, Evan, and it shows you how difficult it is to interpret these kind of survey results, because those people who might say astrology is a science, but they're not saying it's right there next to, I don't know, biochemistry or whatever, and very similar to it. It does seem like there's room for thinking that it's a rather different sort of thing.
Yes, I would say yes, but should that be a little troubling? And I only ask because, I think we should have to, we should have a sort of agreed upon set of standards of what we call a science.
Yeah.
And so let me just ask Nico on this. If you dispute the studies that have been done, or if they are troubling at all, or if they're, you know, if you think they've missed something. I mean, for example, according to the Smithsonian, a 1990 study conducted by John McGrew and Richard McFall of Indiana University's psychology department and designed with a group of astrologers found that astrologers were no better at matching star charts to the corresponding comprehensive case file of a volunteer than a non-astrologer control subject or by random chance. A 1985 study published in the journal Nature by Dr. Sean Carlson of the University of California, Berkeley's physics department found that seasoned astrologers could not match an individual star chart with the results of a personality test any better than random chance. Is that concerning? Do you think they missed something? I mean, or do you think that's valid? And, you know, how do you feel about that?
I would never take away people's personal choices when working with astrology. I mean, like I said, it's not descriptive, it's prescriptive. Certain things are going to be effective for different people, and there's so many variables that you can't sort of, you know, narrow it down. So, you know, whittle it down to like all these people with Sun and Taurus, per se, have exactly the same traits. You could just say the people with Sun and Taurus are trying to get a sense of perseverance and strength. And then that would be enacted in a different area of life for each of those individuals. And then you add the other planets, or, you know, quote unquote planets. Obviously, the Sun isn't a planet. But it's too variable to do that. That's the point, is that everybody's chart is so distinctly different.
And that's one of the concerns. Let me ask Jesse and Jordan, then I'll grab a phone call here. And listeners, if you want to join the program, I mean, you know, if you've had experiences or questions that you want to ask here, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. We're here because a couple of news items in the last month you might have seen either in the Washington Post or in MarketWatch, finding that more than half of young Americans 18 to 29 now say they believe astrology is a valid science, and it is on the rise. It's popular. It's growing. And and there's a lot of interest in that. So that's why we're here. So let me ask, you know, Jesse, on that question, you know, this research indicates if astrologers are giving different answers to people, does that show that there's not really anything there? That if you are come in one room and then I go to a different astrologer and I hear something different about me, does that say that I'm actually learning anything about me?
I think it means that you had a better, maybe depending on the connection with the person doing the reading. I mean, I think we're traipsing into territory that I think that, like, it's not all the same. That, like, because I'm a different person than Nico, we would give you completely different...
We disagreed about Taurus.
About Taurus, sure. You know, that, like, we would give you a different reading, and that it is all about that what resonates for you. Or, like, for example, like, you know, if you come to my yoga class and you didn't like it, the good news is there are thousands and thousands of other yoga teachers out there for you to try.
Or different therapists.
Right.
It's the same,
thing. Exactly. The same thing that you're... What connects you to outside of you and inside of you, the variable is you.
This is different than a psychic medium, though, right?
Sure, but I think that maybe what you're talking about would traipse into that territory where, like I know mediums who use tarot kind of as, like, an illustrative tool. Like, it's not that they're necessarily giving you a tarot reading. They are giving you a mediumship reading, and tarot is just the language that they're using. Whereas, like, I don't consider myself a medium, and I would be interpreting the cards that were out in front of me. Does that make sense? Like a medium channel.
Not much, but, you know. Okay.
Like a medium is a psychic.
Jordan.
Right.
So Jordan, how do you feel about this concern that if you are going to different astrologers and they're giving you different ideas, that, you know, what Jesse is saying, well, that means you just got better connections with one or not the other. But with, you know, what the skeptics like me say is, I'm a little worried here that if astrology is supposed to be valid, you should be hearing roughly the same thing from different astrologers, right? Or no?
I got to use a different analogy, or okay. Not an analogy, but a medium. So for tarot, if you came to me and got a tarot reading versus either of these ladies who got... You will probably get three different readings with three different things that will tell you different things about yourself. A large part of that is because when you're doing a reading, there's a medium there. I'm talking to you about something that is very esoteric, very spiritual, very undescribable, I guess. And we're basically just trying to use different tools to explain something that doesn't really have good words associated to it. I don't know if that totally makes sense. But the difference between each of those different readings you're going to get is that there are different people giving them to you, and we're all three different people. So if you were to get different readings from all three of us, it's because there's a different person portraying that to you. And as I said, there's, you know, with therapy, you're going to have someone try to explain the same sort of thing to you in a different way, and it's going to be a different type of therapy session.
All right, so take me down this path then,
sure.
Jordan, because I said at the outset, I'm the skeptic in the room here.
Of course.
My thinking is then, okay, what you're really saying to me is, we may be giving you different ideas, And you're going to latch onto what feels best to you because of confirmation bias, because of other motivated reasoning. I want to believe I'm a perseverant person. I want to believe all the, you know, most astrologers are probably not saying to somebody, you are weak-willed, you make poor decisions, and you're generally unkind, and you should probably stop all of your hobbies because you have no chance at developing. I don't know. My point is...
Depends on the reading.
Yeah, it's definitely gone bad.
No. Yeah, it does. I mean, there's a continuum of every kind of, you know, acting out a certain aspect of the chart, and you can say, you know, on the positive end, this is like highly creative and sensitive and empathic. On the other end of it, it's weak-willed, it's lost, it's prone to addiction. You know what I mean? So there's a continuum of acting out that energy, and you share that with this person, and most people are somewhere in between.
I still don't think I understand why a planet is going to help you say that about
someone
like me.
It's a whole aspect of the chart, a planet, where it sits, you know, and how, and I mean, every aspect of the chart is a different sub-personality, and they're all interacting within you, so.
Okay, so, so Jordan then,
yes.
You know, you're feeling like, you know, when someone comes to you for tarot, right?
Yeah.
What's the definition of, people say, I've heard of tarot, I've never seen it done. How do you define it? What does it do?
Tarot is a tool. It's meant for divination, and it's basically a different way to access, I guess, man, it's so hard to, like, be forward about this sort of stuff because I also recognize the fact that there is no real science about it, which is why when I personally do this, it's usually on a much more personal level. It's for very close loved ones or myself. But if we're talking about this, we're using tarot to access a much deeper sort of cosmic energy that isn't easily accessible. And
how do you know it's accessible at all? I don't know how to find it. I don't know what it is. So what you're saying is it's something that you are trying to, you're putting some faith in? Is that the right
word? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. No. I mean, and again, it's why when you asked me for my title in the show, I'm a pagan. It's all faith-based for me. This is a kind of a spiritual practice. It's not necessarily meant to be anything more than something that helps bring a sense of understanding to your life, your place in the universe. And tarot is just sort of a medium for that.
All right, so in our second half hour, we're going to take a bunch of phone calls because you've lit up all lines of our phone lines.
Nailing it, guys.
Our email, Professor Feldman, our email is running in three different directions here. We're getting the people who say, Evan, you just don't get it. This is really valuable. I benefit from it. We're getting people who say, you know, I'm a skeptic too, but I'm, you know, I think it's harmless. It could be fun. Yeah. It could be beneficial. And then there are the people, Rich, who are emailing me saying they're worried about the future. They're worried that this many young people could actually believe that this is a real thing. And essentially, I could read Tim in Pittsford, a number of others who are emailing saying, what does this say about their decision making in other realms of life? Should we be worried? Do we need an intervention? So, Rich, where do you fall in that? I mean, like, how do you feel about this?
I guess I'm somewhere of a mix between the second and third. I mean, I'm clearly a skeptic myself about this, but I think a lot of it can be certainly harmless, and even it could be valuable to people. I think Jordan was just talking about it this way, that it's a tool to be reflective and introspective and to think about yourself, and you might gain something out of it. And all that can be valuable. But I really do worry about the idea that people will use things like this to make really sort of vital decisions in other kinds of domains. So
compared
thinking
to what?
About, say, healthcare decisions for their children or something like that.
How
I'd
does
say
anyone make
best
decisions?
To go with the real science.
How does anyone make decisions?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're a religious person, like, I mean, I would say the same thing about deeply Catholic people who make decisions about other people's health care based on their personal beliefs. I find that to be more concerning than people who want to look deeper at themselves. You know, like, I don't think that this is, you know, I think
all that far afield.
No, I think that it's actually I think that like a lot of young people have a lot of stimulus from the outside in, and these schools of thoughts operate more from the inside out.
Introspective.
It's introspective. It's more about how you relate to things than necessarily how you should even act in the world. Does that make sense? Like,
I mean, my big question would be, how does this differ from any other form of religion? I mean, it is a lot newer, but
it's actually really old.
Yeah.
Jordan, I don't necessarily have any problem with that statement, just as the resident skeptic, because what it says is it may fall outside of scientific observation. I choose to believe it for, you know, for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But it's, I wouldn't put it on par with physics or,
yeah.
Right?
Right. No, I agree with that. It's not well-defined enough. It's not well-defined enough. It's not repeatable enough because it's such a, I mean, as Nico said, it's an art. There's an art to it. And I don't know. My dad might disagree with me. I don't think there's as much art to physics.
Why did I not invite your father today? That's so interesting.
Oh, it would have been an argument.
You don't need to argue with your dad. You argue with enough of them, probably. Hey, let's get our only break. We're going to come back to your phone calls. So if you're waiting on the phone, we're gonna go ahead and take those phone calls and work through these conversations. This conversation was prompted by articles in the Washington Post and Market Watch detailing new studies that show that 51% of Americans age 18 to 29 believe astrology is a science that is on the rise. They contrast that with nations like China, where it's roughly 8% believing that. And we're talking about why, and we're talking about how it works or what are the various sort of practitioners feel about that. So let's get our only break of the hour. We'll come back to your phone calls next. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, a new book called Janesville tells the true story of a town whose foundation was rocked with the closing of a GM plant. Author Amy Goldstein joins us to tell us why she thinks it tells the story of why we had the results in 2016 at the polls. Then in our second hour, author Walter Starr joins us. His new book is about Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton. We'll talk Civil War and more. Talk with you Wednesday. They're laughing as we come back because I said, it might do with the president's chart. And they said, oh, yes. But that's a whole other show. So we'll do that differently. Nico Lovetro is an evolutionary astrologer and tarotist. Jesse Ames Smith is creator of the Yoga and Tarot Workshop and also a yoga teacher and tarotist. Jordan Duby, a tarotist. Are you a tarotist too?
Sure.
Pagan?
Pagan's best.
Pagan
probably.
Is best. And Professor Richard Feldman is on the line with us, professor of philosophy at the University of Rochester. Let's go ahead and take some of your phone calls, starting in Victor. This is Ron first up. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Evan. I love the program, but it's raised a few questions for me. And the first one is that I'd like to think that I'm a free human being and that, you know, the decisions I make about my life and what's involved in living my life are pretty much my own, and that I can carry out those decisions, you know, as I see fit. But, you know, if astrology says that there are certain forces present on the planet, in the universe, that have something to do with my birth, my personality, the trajectory of my life, and that those things working together can influence, you know, the decisions that I make about living my life, then I'm kind of left with the idea that I'm not the free human being that I presumed myself to be. And so then if that's the case, that perhaps I'm not the free human being that I presume myself to be, and that other people would be privy to the stuff that makes me less free than what I believed I was, then I'm not so happy about that, because I like to think that to a great extent, or to the greatest extent possible, that I'm an independent person living, you know, on the planet. My second comment is that I was always taught that for anything to be science, in effect, is knowing the cause of something. So if that is the case, and if we say that tarot readings and astrology and whatnot are viable, valid systems, you know, here that can get us to a different place in terms of understanding where we're at, then in effect they would be sciences. They might not have the complexity of biochemistry or physics or astrophysics or anything like that, although complexity is a subjective thing, but in effect they are sciences. So I'll listen to your comments off the air, and thank you very much. You have a great show.
Ron, thank you for the phone call. So let me start with Ron's opening comment about free will. Mm-hmm. If a tarot reading or astrology is telling you that, you know, you may be a certain way because of certain elements. No? Nico's already looking at me saying I'm wrong. Okay, so help me understand that, because he's feeling like there may be a removal of sort of free will.
Absolutely not. Like I described before, it's more prescriptive rather than descriptive. So you have the ability to act on it however you choose. I would never tell somebody you're condemned to a certain sort of behaviors. You know, like the sun sign is, you know, maybe a path for you seeking vitality and strength. But you can do with that however you want. I mean, you aren't condemned to it. And I equate it to karma. So you can do whatever you want with that.
Okay. Jordan?
I've been working on analogies since I was asked on the show for this. And I have a good one, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, good.
So gravity is a thing that's constantly affecting our lives. It's always acting on us. But if I take a ball and I throw it into the air, it's still going to go upwards, and that's still affected by gravity. But now there are other influences that are affecting it as well. And I look at a lot of these things as exactly that. There are forces that are influencing our sort of spiritual existence, but that's not the only force that's influencing it. We do have that free will.
Exactly.
And that does basically allow us to sort of define our own path, even if there are other things that are sort of kind of pushing us one way or the other.
Okay, Jesse?
Well, I feel a little bit like I heard in Ron's call, a little bit of like a bootstraps ethos, where it's like, well, I should be able to have agency over what I do and where I am.
Sure.
And I don't think that always, I mean, I think that whether we're talking about astrology or just our circumstances in life, maybe you were born with like a celiac disease, and just because you can't eat certain things doesn't mean you're not gonna like go find a gluten-free bakery and like make yourself the best gluten-free donuts that you can. Like, just because you have celiac doesn't mean you can't eat donuts.
It's okay to right? have some definition.
Yeah, or just that, like, I think that the makeup of who we are, the families we're born into, our race, our class, our gender, that all of these things impact the people we are and the paths we walk and the people we want to become. So I think more than like using this as a way of saying that it's all predestined and we don't have free will, I think it's more of an exercise in, from where you stand, how do you interpret it and what does it mean to you? Mm-hmm. Like, if you know that you have control issues, me, you know, like, am I going to say like, well, I'm a controlling person and I'm just going to be like that forever? Or does that perspective give me an opportunity to then use that bootstraps ethos and say, I'm going to work to better myself from the inside out, but because I'm aware of it.
Let's stay with that exact theme, and let me read an email on this kind
sure.
of subject. Rolf writes to the program and says, if these readings are meant to help people understand themselves through introspection, why are people not able to do this themselves without assistance? Are young people losing their ability to examine themselves in this way?
See, I would completely disagree, because I do all of this on my own. On the internet. I think that young people have more access to information, whether it's real information or it's like false information is another conversation entirely, but that the autodidact generation, I want to know this, so I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia. I think that, like, you know, like YouTube is like a plethora. I mean, you could type into YouTube anything about astrology that you'd like, and there are other people there with their perspectives and uniqueness that, you know, you can reference against yourself. I think that actually the reason that young people are drawn to this is because it encourages you to do it for yourself. I mean, like, what's the other option? Is going to an institution, right? Is to say, like, I think the generation
That's
before
not the
us,
only other
right?
option.
Well, but I mean, like, if we're talking about like faith-based systems, maybe, like, what are the other options?
I think what Rolf is probably saying is the other options are just trying to understand your own life and having introspection on, you know, over a cup of coffee or something.
But people also...
Or like with a therapist.
Yeah, exactly.
Or with
okay, sure.
your
yeah.
or a friend. Or talking to a clergy member.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying this is in what that line of trying to understand ourselves.
Oh, yeah. When I Correct. Sit down with a friend in a tarot deck and a cup of coffee, like, we talk about everything.
Are there fraudulent tarotists?
Oh, absolutely.
Astrologers?
Totally.
Yes.
Yes.
There's people who are can hurt people, you know. It depends on what is motivating them in the practice.
Okay, so certainly we can establish there's some fraudulence out there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
Nico, how can it hurt people?
I've had an astrologer tell me I was going to go blind. I'm like, how did that help me become more self-aware? I think that that's an old school of approach to astrology and tarot, is people saying this misfortune is going to befall you. And the modern approach is, how can I act more mindful in a world that is, you know, becoming more and more complicated? What is my role to play in this? It's not how it used to be. There's more modern approaches that are, what do I bring to the table? And reflecting upon that, so.
Okay, but what you're saying is the definition of a fraudulent tarotist or astrologer is someone who is telling you specific things about your life that turn out to be wrong?
Not just wrong, but hurtful. Excite fear in a person, confuse them, or, you know, take away their free will.
Right, exactly what was being talked about
and,
before.
And, you know, say, I'm going to remove this hex from you, you know, give me more money.
Okay. So that's obvious fraudulence to you.
Yes.
Listeners like Tim in Pittsford says, there's nothing to believe when it comes to astrology. It's not scientific. I'm going to go home tonight and eat some ice cream. That will make me feel good without paying a bunch of money for someone reading cards. Mm. And your guests are simply saying, who needs science? That's sad. That's Tim in Pittsford. So
nobody said that.
No. Okay.
but Tim's pushback is it could be hurtful to anybody because they're paying money for something that isn't borne out to prove to be valid.
I would literally implant this entire conversation over modern religion, and I think you can have the exact same argument. So I think Tim in Pittsford probably goes to church, if I had to guess, you know, like, I don't know. But I think that if you're able to suspend your beliefs in one arena and not recognize that other people have that experience too. I'm just, it's curious to me that people are so quick to be like, you can't prove that, it's not real.
I do have a couple of emails along this line, and Professor Feldman, to Jesse's point, I've got emails from people. Here's Linda saying, so looking into a mystical universe with tarot cards can't be any stranger than believing in an immaculate conception, a virgin birth, and a God who's willing to listen to every prayer and make your dreams come true. She says, I personally believe in a great mystery. I respect all people's religious beliefs as long as they do not hurt another person, but to think we have all the answers is pretty naive. So she doesn't see any differences, just as Jesse is saying. Professor Feldman, what do you make of that?
I think there's something right about that. It is similar, and we can argue about the scientific basis of religion, but if we put them all in the same category of things that people use as ways to try to navigate through the world, they can be helpful. So without endorsing them as true, you can see them as valuable. Mm-hmm. I would like, if I could for a minute, to go back to the free will question.
Yeah, sure.
So we all believe, I think, that we more scientific types believe that our personalities and behaviors are, at least to some extent, the result of our heredity and our environment. And so it's a long-standing question in philosophy to try to understand how we can reconcile the idea that we're free and responsible agents with the kind of causal determinism that also seems to be true. And what the astrology does is, at least in its sort of traditional form, it says that some aspects of our personalities are determined not by our local environment, but by a distant environment, the position of the planets and the like at the time of our birth. And that's a pretty hard to swallow view about the causes, as your passage from Carl Sagan earlier, sort of illustrated that. But that doesn't change the free will question. It's just it's different causes that astrology envisions than the ones that the rest of us believe in. But it doesn't in either case, there's this hard question of how can we be responsible if we're the product of how we were born and what's happened to us since.
A lot of feedback. I mean, a remarkable amount of emails, and a lot of people who are upset with me from all sides on this one. I'm getting it from everyone today. And you know, it's interesting. I mean, Ray writes to us and says, "This hour seems more designed to prove astrology is not a science than it is to explore the very rich and deep cultural value of astrological concepts." And he says, planets are science. Our solar system planets are all made up of unique gases, compounds, and energies. Isn't that correct? Jupiter is different than Mars, is different than Mercury. When you are born, if one of them is closer to your newly tender absorbing mind and body, then that will inherently become your body chemistry. I don't, what? Well, the last part, Ray, you lost me there. I mean, we have to at least stick to some science here, I think. And I don't mean, no, I told everyone coming in here, we're going to have a good-natured discussion, and I think we've at least seen where they think the value lies. And some people don't see that. I mean, Nico, if someone comes to you and they said, "I don't believe this for a second," should
happens
they
come all the time.
Should they come to you at all? I mean.
Sure, why not? I mean, they can say, I get plenty of skeptics or people who are just merely curious to see what's happening, whether that's through astrology or tarot. They can decide that they don't agree. There are certain things that people resist and then come back to me later and say, actually, that was really beneficial and I had time to reflect upon it and it was valid. And it did help me move forward. Yeah, sure, they can come to me. Maybe not for like a huge whole chart or anything, but just to sort of get an inkling of what it's about and what it can do for
them.
So
you take skeptics?
Of course. I don't take people who come to like make fun of me and what I do. You know, if they come with a respectable sort of amount of skepticism, I'm a skeptic, but it keeps proving valid. You know, I'm very methodically, intellectually driven, but I find that it is effective.
Well, here's Claire in Brighton who calls into the program to ask this question. She said, based on the discussion that your panel has had regarding the science or how it doesn't quite line up next to physics and everything else, she says, what do the panelists on your show think is the difference between believing that, even though there's not evidence, and climate change deniers who don't want to believe in climate change and say, well, the science says one thing, but I'm going to choose to believe something else because it makes me feel good. Jordan?
Probably the damage that it could do. I mean, climate change is super dangerous. Like, it is affecting, it's very easily proven that this is a thing that's going on. Whereas with tarot, astrology, etc., it's been proven that it's, according to science, that it's not existing. But the worst that's going to happen to someone if none of this is real is that they probably spend more money than they need to on readings. I can't see it getting too much worse than that.
Professor, go ahead.
That seems maybe true, but not clearly right, because it depends what they do with the information they get out of this.
But what about like faulty self-help books?
If they make really vital decisions that could be costly or impactful, then that's a different matter.
Sure, right. So what about like faulty self-help books or like snake oil psychology?
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's...
Or bad parents.
Yeah. Bad parents, right? I don't want to sound like a broken record because I'm a very spiritual person. I don't want to knock anyone's faith, but I think it really does traipse right into the room with like, then why believe anything? Like if we can't prove it. And I think that's some people's question. Why believe anything we can't prove?
I think
right?
very much that is the view of a lot of people who are skeptics or people who, you know, want to say, I need evidence to understand.
Sure.
Kurt Anderson wrote a book about how, in his words, America lost its mind. And he says, we're in a post-truth world. And he linked in everything from organized religion to tarot readings and more. And he says, the fact that we believe fake news, the fact that we're so easily duped, is tied to the fact that we believe too much without evidence. Jordan, fair or unfair?
I think it's reductionist. I think that's basically saying that there is... if there's a news story that says monkeys have taken over the moon, very clearly, obviously not true, and things like that. If there's something that says, hey, I believe in this as a thing that isn't necessarily provable, but it's bringing me comfort. I think there are very different levels of things. That makes sense.
Okay. Jesse, thoughts on that? Anderson is saying, you know, it's all related. We should demand evidence for everything. And if we can't get it, it's going to lead to a deterioration in our ability to reason. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of different realms of our world.
Well, I think questioning your faith or your belief is a huge part of having it. I think that if you were raised in a faith system that tells you that some people are less than other people, you should question that. I think if your tarot card reading is telling you you're going to go blind or whatever false information is out there, I think you should question that. And I think that just the same way that, I guess it's like, how do you relate to things if it's not through feeling? Because like logic is only one part of you. Like the feeling sensing is another part of you. The child part of you that like had all of the wounds or experiences that you had growing up. I mean, to deny one part of yourself, I think, is to not encourage people to be whole people.
All right, let's get some final thoughts as well from Professor. We got 30 seconds, and then Nico, 30 seconds. Go ahead, Professor.
So I think for me, the important thing is whether we see this as something that's, as some have just said, comforting and valuable to people, and it's very hard for me to object to anything that serves that role and helps people. On the other hand, I do think there's a real risk that you can use this kind of information that isn't evidentially supported to make decisions that are not well supported, and to extend that kind of non-evidentially based thinking to other areas where you might really run yourself into trouble.
All right, Nico Levetro, some final thoughts from you. Go ahead.
I'm not a faith-based practitioner. I don't want anybody, there's nothing to believe in what I practice. It's just a matter of it being effective in a person becoming more self-aware and more mindful in their choices that they make. There's nothing to agree with or believe in. So.
Okay, so maybe some misconceptions people have about the practice itself.
Correct.
Nico Levetro is an evolutionary astrologer and tarotist. Jesse Ames Smith, creator of the Yoga and Tarot Workshop and also a yoga teacher and tarotist. Jordan Duby, pagan and tarotist?
Sure. I don't have a good title.
And Professor Richard Feldman in the Department of Philosophy at the University of Rochester. Thanks, Professor.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you in studio. Thanks for being
Thank
here.
You.
Appreciate
Thank
it. Our thanks to Great. Rob Braden, engineer, Audrey Sample, intern, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Tonight, 9 p.m., we'll talk to you live for election night coverage. I'll be right back here. Hope you will join me. And if not, we'll talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.